There's a true story that comes from the sinking of the Titanic. A woman who was placed in one of the lifeboats said to the crew, "I just need to go back to my cabin." And the crew member said, "You can go, but be very, very quick." And so she went back into the Titanic, got to her stateroom, and as she kind of put all of her gold and jewels aside, she grabbed 3 oranges, then worked her way back to the lifeboat and began to leave the sinking ship. She pushed aside all of those things that hours before would have been more important to her than 3 oranges. But now, when what really mattered was her being able to survive, her diamonds meant nothing to her. And these oranges took on a value that they would never before have had. And that's because on that night, death boarded the Titanic. One blast of its awful breath had transformed all values. Instantaneously, priceless things become worthless. Worthless things become priceless. And in a way, we've seen something like that with what has happened with Hurricane Harvey. How the values just are turned in some ways upside down. Or perhaps another way of looking at it is this. Those who really are crooks take advantage of a time like that and become more crooked still, appearing as police officers at people's doors and telling them to evacuate and then stealing from them. But conversely, those who are willing to so go out of their way that they will even be willing to die in order to save their fellow citizens. Life is like this. We come to those events in life that have the power to transform the way we look at the world. And one of the things Jesus did all the time was he told these stories, these parables that were to be transformative, that they were to change the way we look at the world. And both yesterday and again today, we're hearing stories that point to the second coming of Christ. And in this story that we have this morning, we have 10 women, 5 who are wise, 5 who are foolish. And one of the things that we need to appreciate about parables is that Jesus uses these stories to convey something about the Christian life. And we can put it this way, that the lamps represent our response to grace. That is, the lamps are not of our making. The lamps are given to us by Christ. But in order for those lamps to burn bright, they need the fuel. And I want to suggest to you that the fuel are the works that we do. And the more we grow in living lives of good works, the more our lamps will burn brightly. I love what St. Paul puts in today's reading from Thessalonians. He gives us such a clear and succinct definition of God's will for us. Remember what he said? God's will is your sanctification. That's so simple, so clear. What does God want for me? He wants my sanctification. And as Paul says in that reading, God wants us to continue to grow in doing good works. And so when we think about this in relation to the parable, we flip back to the Sermon on the Mount, also in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus compares good deeds to the light of a lamp. And the only way that lamp can be lit if it has the fuel. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? "Let your light shine before men and women, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Later in the same sermon, Jesus speaks about a professed Christian who says, "Lord, Lord," but fails to do the will of the Father. And he hears the response from his Lord, "I never knew you." A statement that is almost identical to the groom's statement in today's parable when he says to the foolish virgins, I do not know you. Echoes such as these within the gospel make it likely that Jesus wants us to see that the oil represents the good works willed by the Father. Now, please understand this. Good works do not primarily save us. That is Jesus' doing. It is the grace that we respond to because of the gospel message. But that salvation, which is like the lamp, can be a beautiful lamp, but if there is no oil, it is not going to be lit in the way that God intends it. And so for us this day, we are encouraged to think that our lives are ones where commitment must be sustained over time. And that's what the application of this parable is all about. At one level, we think those maidens with abundant oil, boy, are they ever rude. Surely they could share with those who had none. But of course, here's the point. No one person can shape a heart that grows in good works for another. Every single one of us has to do that for ourselves. And every disciple is offered the grace and the opportunity to continue in good works, to acquire the oil that he or she will need until the Lord returns. And this really gets to the very heart of it. Some people sleep through this life, not thinking that there is a bridegroom, not thinking that there is a day when the invitation to come in will be over and the door will be shut and Jesus will say to some, I never knew you. The values of Jesus in a world like this seem foolish. But it is only those who recognize that we are, so to speak, all in the same boat. And none of us is getting out of here alive. I don't mean today. I mean, none of us is getting out of this world alive. That every boat is leading to death and judgment. And it's those people who understand this reality, who, like the wise virgins, desire more and more to exercise good works, the good works of charity, the good works of faith, the good works of hope, who will be ready to welcome the bridegroom Jesus when he comes.